Blog Talk Radio.
This is Fernando Poniente. Welcome to my show, Fernando Poniente Show. Today is Saturday, June 6th, 9 o'clock in the hour. Tonight we are going to be talking about some good stuff. You know, I always do. I always talk about some good stuff. And if you want to call in, if you want to join me, go to 347-884-8125. Hey, it's been a while, I know. It's been a while since I, like about a week or so. I'd say about a week and a half, something like that, the last time I did a show. But, you know, just time did not, I just didn't have no time for my own show. I don't know why. So I hope everyone's doing good and doing great this month of June. And here in Wisconsin, actually, it's really, you know, we have this odd weather. Today, I woke up and around like maybe 6:30 or something like that in the morning, and it was pretty cold. It was cold. So cold to like maybe 40 degrees, I believe that. So it was kind of sweater weather, you know, in the middle of June. What do you know? And tonight, hopefully we have Nikki Papers joining us later on in a half, in about half hour. The guy that's behind MontaukMonster.com, that's Montauk, you know, Monster that actually found that, I don't know if you guys have been following the news, but that's the some identified creature. That was a year ago, actually, that came up, that monster that washed up ashore in New Jersey or New York area. And they couldn't really figure out what it was. And so they, you know, they called Montauk Monster because it's, you know, it's the town of Montauk. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but Montauk Monster. So the news kind of got a hold of it, and a lot of people just kind of amazed because of the identity of this animal, this creature, and it says it looks like a the cross between, I don't know, a raccoon and some turtle without a shell, and I don't know, so we don't know what it was, but anyway, that's a couple months ago. It's just again another one showed up, and actually, the this guy Nikki Papers actually is one of the guys that discovered that, the one that just, you know, recently, and you know, just, again, the same thing, and it, you know, has a it's bloated and, you know, kind of leathery gray skin, as they describe there, and he has like weird patches of hair, and you know, this is kind of weird. And so what we're gonna do is, you know, maybe talk to, you know, talk to this guy, and when he gets, you know, when he gets here. But let's get a caller here on the computer. Caller number one, go ahead. Who's this?
Hey, Fernando, this is Kevin.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Kevin. How are you?
Oh, Kevin Monster.
Hey, Kevin Masta. Yeah, I thought you were talking about the, a monster that I thought you were talking about the president, but then you started saying talking about the
wow, that's really cool. Oh, wow, drum roll. Yeah, drum roll, please. Oh man, no, not quite though. Not quite, but almost, almost.
So who's your guest? Who's your guest in a half hour?
That's the guy named Nikki Papers. Nikki Papers.
Okay.
You know, he's the guy behind the website, MontaukMonster.com.
Oh, okay.
so hopefully he can stick around and maybe I'll talk to him. So the thing is, here's the thing, though. I haven't even, he emailed me a couple of days ago, mm-hmm. and just to verify everything, and I emailed him back, and I had some questions for him, and I don't know, but he hasn't got back to me yet, but I hope he shows up. Not shows up, but calls in.
So when did you last talk to him or last have contact with him? Yesterday?
He emailed me two days ago from a different email. That's why he went into my spam. And okay. I kind of caught it. And, I know you have that problem the other day, right?
Last week I had a guest. His name is Michael Eisbrenner. And he's he lives in Medellin, Colombia. And so he was my guest last week, and we were going to continue the conversation because we basically talked for an hour, and we only got up to the point where he moved to Colombia. So we hadn't even talked about his business yet. So we were going to cover that today, and I didn't talk to him. I didn't email him or talk to him all week. And so then this morning he didn't show, and I think he just forgot. So important lesson there is to make sure you follow up with your guest, even if you don't assume anything.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Are you stateside? Are you back in the States?
I'm here.
Okay. I know that you were out of country for a while.
Yeah, I was over in Israel for 2 weeks in one visit, and then 3 weeks in another.
Oh.
Being over there for that period of time working over there. I was able to ask some of the people their opinion of, well, I didn't even have to ask. I got their opinion of Obama. I don't know how closely you follow the news, especially with regards to his visit to the Middle East last week, he basically snubbed Israel. He went over, met with the Saudi king. And essentially just, said that our policy towards Israel is changing. That doesn't make the Israelis very comfortable. And in fact, last week, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday, they had a full-scale drill. A full-nation drill. They've only had this drill, I think, once or twice in the last couple of years. And the drill is basically to prepare them for a cataclysmic attack. Because they're just assuming now that Iran's going to be allowed to develop the nuclear.
I mean, it's a history of it. They'll learn from that history, and I don't blame Israel on that. They can't really I know they've talked about. Yeah, he actually snubbed Israel in there, and they talked about changing the policy. Now, are they? Do you think the United States will put a sanction on that on Israel because of this? The housing that they're trying to build. I mean, they're because I know the United States is opposed to that, correct?
They're trying to slow down the settlements on the West Bank,
mm-hmm.
and they're not going to stop. I mean, Israel is a sovereign nation. We have no right to tell them to slow down the settlements in the West Bank. In my opinion, Israel has the right to go in and take back all of the Gaza Strip and take back all the West Bank and kick them all out of there.
Exactly,
but they're actually allowing the Palestinians to stay there, but they don't behave. They were launching where I was in South Israel near the Gaza Strip.
Mm-hmm.
They were the Palestinians were lobbing missiles in there, for the last couple of years after the ceasefire.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why earlier this year Israel went in and basically destroyed their ability to launch those missiles.
Oh,
in fact, they have we're trying to tell them,
mm-hmm.
we're trying to put conditions on our support, and really our support should be unconditional.
Exactly, and to me it's like if you're giving them a ceasefire, they're just giving them a chance to reload. To restack some. Some bomb. Let's get another caller here. Caller number 23797. Go ahead. You want what's your take on this conversation? Hello, you there? Caller number 23797.
Are you talking to me?
3797. Who else 3797 around here?
I didn't press the number one, so I was wondering if you're talking to me.
Sorry. Yeah, I missed that.
That's okay. I was just I'm feeling a little bit better. Having my daughter make me something called OPC3 and digestive enzymes, because I know I'm on this antibiotic and it's just making me feel really, really bad. I'm in a lot of pain, so that's why I didn't press. But I'm feeling a little better. So what was your question? You want my opinion on?
On the recent visit of President Obama to Middle East.
I don't know. I don't really follow the news, but according to, based on what you guys said, that's not good to take away support from Israel, because I believe, according to the Bible, that God says that, he'll bless whoever blesses Israel and he'll curse whoever curses Israel. So I'm even for funding of overseas things, that's the only reason I'm for, it's because of Israel, because I want our country to bless them so that we'll be blessed. So my comment on that.
If that's true,
that he snubbed them, that's not a good thing for our country.
Well, I agree. I mean, if you look at biblical prophecy, and that's something that could be debated, because I do believe, like your caller, that right now the fact that Israel is the people, or I should say the Jewish people occupy Israel, is a miracle, because you consider that these are people that have been dispersed. They're the only nation in the world that has been dispersed several times throughout history and yet come back. And they occupy that land. They occupy that land that God said they will occupy. Yep. Now, whether you believe that or not, that's one thing. But the fact is, the Bible does say that it's going to happen near the end times, and it's happening.
Exactly.
So,
maybe just
a coincidence, but I don't believe there are such things.
I don't think that's like the. I just had a conversation with a guy that's saying it's about the whole thing about the Israel, about the Obama snubbing Israel, not going there, and showing some of the reluctance towards Israel about Israel and expanding or building those houses there. But he said no, Israel is considered like maybe the 51st or 52nd state of the United States, because we put so much money in there that they're not even thinking, because if they lose Israel, they would lose pretty much everything there, around.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's, it's like Israel is like a gateway to the Middle East. You know what I mean?
What's amazing to me is how small that country is. Tiny. It's you can drive from one end to the other in an hour.
Wow.
Wow.
I mean, it's absolutely incredible how small it is. You can go from east to west, the east border to the west border.
Uh-huh.
In an hour, but north to south is probably a couple hours, but still it's tiny. It's absolutely tiny. But yet so why is the Arab world so bent on their destruction? Because they just hate the Jews. Period.
Yep.
That's the only reason.
Hate.
That's the only reason. They can. The Arab world could live and just basically ignore the Israel. They could prosper. But the fact is, they need somebody to hate, because they have so many problems in their own countries that it's more convenient for them to blame somebody else than to actually go in and try to solve their own problems. And that's always been the way it's been. If Israel wasn't there, they'd find somebody else to blame, like us, which they do anyway.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
I mean, it's in a great book. I read this book probably 20 years ago. It's called From Time Immemorial. It's written by Dr. Joan Peters, and it's about three quarters of the book is just documentation from the Arab governments that prove that their goal is to destroy the people of Israel, the Jewish people. And you can't find this book anymore in the United States, but what was weird is that in Tel Aviv at the airport, I found it in paperback now. But you cannot find that book here in the United States.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
It's almost like a blackout. It's called From Time Immemorial.
From Time Immemorial. Who's the author of that?
Dr. Joan Peters.
Dr. Joan Peters. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yep. And it's a terrific, and you know, a friend of mine there years ago told me, if you want to understand the Jewish mind, read the book The Source by James Michener. It's a real long book. It's a real long book, but it's a novel. But it's a great. I think historical novels are great just because they keep your interest, but you learn some history in there. And the other thing I was told was that if you want to understand the Arab mind, read a book called The Hajj by Leon Uris.
Leon, how do you spell that?
His last name is Uris.
Uris.
Leon Uris. Yeah, both those are classic novels. But they're great ways of, by just reading these novels, you can get a glimpse into the minds of the Jews and the Arabs. The modern day Jews in here, modern day Arabs. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, what about this latest news that you know that apparently that there's like a spy from Cuba or some. They got caught. Yeah, you heard about that? What's your take on that? I was reading through that. I'm like, the lady was just like caught like swapping grocery carts or something like that.
Well, you know what I immediately came to mind? People are going out of their way to develop other streams of income. Now that may not be a good way to do it if you get caught.
but
being a spy, probably not. Yeah, but there are other more legitimate ways of developing second streams of income.
Exactly.
But, hey,
now,
people get desperate. They'd
rather do some stupid stuff like that and then do it the right way. Yeah, and so reading through that, it was just like, the couple has actually been in the United States for many, many years, and I just can't get my mind wrapped around that. It's just like, wow, is it really legit? Is it true? I don't know. Who knows, man? And there's reports and saying, yeah. They've been following them for years.
Mm-hmm.
But they're in their 70s. So either they chose people in the 70s, they're like 70 years old or something. Made so that they're unsuspectable or something otherwise. And from my understanding, they were from well-to-do families, so they didn't need the money, they said in the news.
Right, exactly. Yeah, they came from Alexander Graham Bell's. Is a descendant of Alexander Graham Bell.
Yeah.
So either like the lady or the man. I don't know which one of those. But anyway. So what are you? Let's go back to the Montauk Monster, Kevin. So what do you think about this? Another one came up 2 months ago. That's somewhat similar to the one that from last year. They said Fox News reported that there's been resolved. I didn't even really. They didn't really give us, any answer on, the creature like or what it was. Mm. So what's your take on that? What do you think it is? Is that a raccoon? Is it a deformed something? Or is that a hybrid between a turtle and something else?
I have no idea, but we know that whatever it was, it voted for the Democrats. everything comes back to politics, doesn't it?
Yeah, he has like one of the donkey emblem right on his forehead. I don't know.
I kind of saw that and I thought I don't know.
Yeah.
It could. There's a lot. There are a lot of things out there, species that we probably.
That was born into us. That really exactly like like the ocean is alone. I mean, we have not explored any. There's some creature out there that has not been discovered. That's great.
Yep.
You got a good point there. Now, Don, do you think do you think this is a planted by Democrats? I don't know. What do you think? Do you think it's a pig?
I don't know. I mean, guess they said something about raccoon or something.
They couldn't figure it out.
Turtle.
I mean, it's just so, yeah.
Well, I mean, if it was a turtle, really a turtle, which I doubt, but if it was really a turtle, So isn't there like creatures in the bottom of the ocean? The closer they are to the crust of the earth, it's hotter actually at the bottom of the ocean. It's like warm and then it's cold and then it's hot. And, you know, God created creatures without shells down there. There's like crabs without shells, I think, down there. So wouldn't it make sense that turtles live all the way down there, you know, that they wouldn't have, you know, they wouldn't need a shell or something. So that's what my opinion is, that like, you know, and also if it was an animal that was in the ocean and, you know, the salt water could have washed away, you know, some of the stuff, some of the hair, because you said something about patches of hair earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, being in the water, it could just like kind of like absorb the water so that it may have been like a normal size, but now it looks like really huge, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think about that. There's probably like, and like your other person, like the other person said, I think his name's Kevin, he said, you know, there's so many things out there that, and even you said that, you know, we haven't even started searching, you know, just the tip of the iceberg. Just because we haven't seen it before, it doesn't mean it's alien form or something like that. It's just alien to us, even though it may have been created on this earth, you know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Now, Kevin, go back to the politics. Did you see the you know, President Obama address that you know, the D-Day?
I missed that
one.
That was today, correct?
Yeah,
what did he say?
Well, you know, a lot of stuff. I can't remember. But anyway, actually he came out like, you know, he's, I don't know. He did that. Well, he's, you know, he's a good, like, you know, table turner, you know.
That's, oh, he's a very good speaker.
He's very charismatic. I don't know. To me, that's my opinion. He came out. He's the one. He's the hero, you know. He's the people just, like, you know, appalled by, you know, the way he said stuff. And I'm like, what? You know, he's just like, yeah, the D-Day you talked about, I can't really remember in that. It's a transcript of it. But if you go to the, you know, politics of Fox News, I think the transcript's in there. But so the fact that, you know, he's the one that he has nothing to do with it, but yet he's, you know, he's the hero of the whole thing. I don't get that. Why is people, you know?
Well, he's the center of the universe, don't you know? He's the second coming or the Antichrist, one of the two.
Don't want to be. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Okay. Yeah. So, what do you think about the, you know, Obama's going over? What is he trying to accomplish? What is Obama trying to accomplish over there, going to Middle East? What do you think?
Well, he's.
Besides all the politics on the side, you know.
He believes that everything can be solved by talk, which is, you know, that would be wonderful if that were the case, but he doesn't understand. I don't believe he understands the enemy.
Right. Well, do you think that, I mean, there's a lot of people, you know, he've always, I don't know, if, you know, I saw that on YouTube. I saw that everywhere that, you know, he mentioned something about his Muslim roots and everything. Now, do you think he's wanting to just like touch back or reach out to the Muslim community, the Muslim throughout the, you know, Middle East there? You know,
well, that's interesting. That's interesting you mentioned that, Fernando, because during the campaign, if you remember, the media went out of their way to explain, no, he's not a Muslim. He never was a Muslim. And yet now he's, you know, now they're saying, oh, yeah, well, this is going to help us with building relationships in the Middle East because of his Muslim roots. So what is it? Like I said to my friend in Israel, Asher Levy, I said, you know, he's basically going over there to convince the world that he's the first Muslim Christian Jew. And if he can figure out a way to become a Buddhist and a Hindu for the rest of the world, then, you know, he's got his mission accomplished. People, you know, it's amazing how stupid especially the American people have become.
Right.
And that they just believe everything he says, hook, line, and sinker. He can just lie. He's a great salesman. He can lie right straight to their face, and they just eat it all up. You know?
He was just like,
because they want to believe.
There, yeah.
Yep.
He can lie to you. I am not here. Really? So I think that's what he's trying. Exactly. I agree with you now, and he's just trying to fit into, you know, right in the middle. You know, Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the Bible talks about that. That you know, there's going to be a man that would, you know, that would set or that would put peace in the world. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, if you can do it, I mean, that's fine and dandy. But again, the prophecy is going to be fulfilled. You know.
Yep.
And the you know, if it happens, that's and America, you know, goes against Israel and everything like that. That's there goes your prophecy. I mean, I'd start praying.
Well, there was actually an article in one of the Israeli newspapers last week on the front page, and I'm trying to remember the name of the like Herzatz, I think is the name of the newspaper.
Okay.
The title of or the headline was the American Threat. Now that's disturbing.
Right. I heard about that American Threat about how how Obama administration fill us in with that. What is that? What did they say?
Well, I didn't read the whole thing, but it essentially was it said that we are, with Obama trying to make nice with the Arab world, we have become a threat to the Israelis, to the nation of Israel.
Yeah.
And Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, said that if Iran develops nuclear weapons.
Mm-hmm. Which they're probably really close to doing it.
Yep, Israel is going to have to deal with it because they can't count on the United States.
Yeah.
And I think that's true. I think that's true. I don't think
that's true.
You know, Obama will. You know, they Iran could launch missiles into Israel, into the United States, and he'd still be trying to decide what to do 2 months later. You know, him and his wife. You know, and the dog.
Yeah, he'll probably press. He'll probably vote like you know. He'll probably say he's pressing. I'm pressing. I'm here because like he'll you know like what he did when he was in the Senate. In the Senate. So, what do you you know fill us in with there, Dawn? What do you think
about him visiting the Middle East?
About the you know what just Kevin mentioned about you know that we're becoming a threat to Israel.
I agree that, you know, if we withhold funding and help from Israel, you know, that we are a threat. And we're not just a threat to Israel, we're a threat to America. I mean, if America, mm-hmm. you know, if America withholds help in any way from Israel, we are a threat to our own country because God says in his holy word that, in the Holy Bible, that that whoever, you know, blesses Israel will be blessed, and whoever curses Israel will be cursed. And if we willingly, you know, withhold help from them, then we're kind of like not blessing them. We're the opposite. It's not like beating around the bush. But I do agree, though, that there's Americans that do pray for Israel. And, you know, I believe God can have mercy on those Americans, if it's God's will, you know, those that pray for Israel's safety and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, and we just, I just heard that earlier. I was listening to the Christian radio station and saying that he would never, he's saying that, you know, he doesn't even sing that God bless America anymore, or he doesn't even say God bless America anymore because of what's going on. And I agree with you, Don. And then it says, you know, there's actually Americans out there that pray so because when you say an American, it's just like kind of generalize all the American people, you know.
Yeah.
There's mm-hmm. conservatives, there's liberal, there's like pro-choice, pro-life, you know. You can say God bless those Americans who, you know, follow the path of the righteousness. You know,
mm-hmm.
you can say that. You know, you can't just like you can't say God bless America. But what do you say on that, Kevin? What do you think? Do you agree?
Do I agree that God will bless?
Yeah, go ahead.
That God will bless them that
God will bless who follows his path, his righteousness.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Not just I disagree.
What did you, Fernando? What did you think of today? They had the funeral for Tiller, the abortion doctor who was shot last week.
Who shot? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. What'd you think of that?
The whole thing. I think that first of all, I read in a newspaper that he was shot in a church. Is that correct? Yeah, and the first thing came to mind is like, this is a pro, you know, a baby killer that goes into church, and actually, you know, pastors and the congregation supports him. That's what I don't understand. You know, it's a tragic incident there, and the guy should be put in jail, should be punished for that, the guy who killed him. But the fact that, you know, a church-going guy or a person that believes in, you know, that the killing babies are, you know, I just can't get my mind around that. You know, just like, I pray for his soul. I pray for his family. You know, I pray for him. It's like, this is tragic, but I'm just saying, you know, the pastor and the congregation is just like that. They knew that this guy is, you know, the abortionist. Why can they, like, stand up for their beliefs, you know? That's what I don't get.
It's amazing, you know, to me, if you think about, like, the Old Testament.
Uh-huh.
In the Old Testament days, that guy would have been dead a long time ago. They would have taken him out into the square and stoned him to death, the abortion doctor. And it's amazing to me that the press and the liberals, they talk about how he was a hero to women.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a Christian, but but even then, when I first heard that he was murdered or that he was shot, I thought, that's a nice start. there's going to be a lot that I'm going to need forgiving for, and that's the type of thing. That there are, you know, the thing is, when the government, when our society starts condoning things that we know are against God, you're going to see more of this, people taking matters into their own hands.
Well, exactly,
and then,
because we've
then
we recognize Christianity.
And you don't have a government that stands by God's laws and that writes their own.
No,
we're
exactly.
asking for a world of trouble. We're asking
exactly.
for a world of trouble.
And having support from the pastors and, you know, so-called Christian congregation, it's just that's funny. I just can't get over that. You know, I just can't. I pray for, you know, for this. I don't know. I'm speechless when it comes to things like that. But, you know, again, at the same time, it's tragic, and you know that this, you know, guy, the killer, has been. For the report says, it sounded like it's pre, you know, determined. You know, he was, you know, really out there. So he's going to kill him. He's, you know, he has this plan that he's going to kill him. You know.
Yep.
And it's just, I don't know. That's just one day, and you know, I'm not saying that, you know, that's violence, and I don't really go with that. But again, you know, at the same time, you know, if you read it in the Old Testament, again, I agree with you on that one.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? What do you think this is? Is this going to be like just a message to those, you know, to the abortionists, or is it going to? I think it's going to be a law passed today. You know, somehow we're the ones going to be, you know, going to be paying for this. You know.
I don't know what the long term effects are. I don't think it has. The liberal mind is. I don't even want to try to understand it.
Because they can slap us with, you know, if we're talking about, it's like we are dealing with this, you know, like with that, you know, pro life and pro choice. Mm-hmm. And we're saying that, oh yeah, this so and so is like that, and we're, you know, we're talking about it, and you know, we're, and the listener or whoever's listening to this podcast, it's, you know, listen that you and I are like pro life, and
we're pro life.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, and this is where we get, you know, people get confused. Is I'm pro life, you know, I'm pro innocent life. Okay, a baby when coming out of the womb has not had a chance to live its life. We owe that baby that chance. Now, somebody who lives their life and does what that doctor did, by their actions, in my mind, by his actions, he forfeited his right to life because he took life.
Exactly.
So there's a difference between innocent life and somebody who takes actions which basically he gives up. Where he basically forfeits his right to life.
Exactly.
In my mind, there's a difference. That doesn't mean we go out and, you know, take matters into our hands or our own hands, and we, you know, take a life. We, you know, we hope that we had a government, society would sanction that person or, you know, throw them in prison or whatever.
Right.
But if we don't, how many movies do we see where we're, you know, where we watch, you know, a criminal get away with murder?
Yeah.
And what you're saying, why didn't somebody do something about it? I mean, it's just a movie, but you get caught up in the movie, you suspend disbelief, you watch the movie, you say, how come somebody did? And it's finally somebody does, you know, like Clint Eastwood rides in and kills him, and you're going, all right, justice is finally served. He may have Clint may have had to go up against his bosses in the system, but he finally got the guy, and
yeah.
you feel better for it. Well, that's kind of how I see it.
See, the thing is, what I'm saying is just like the, you know, there's a very thin line. Just like, you know, I'll give you a good an example. I used to have a blog. This was which was deleted about a week and a half ago. It was it's under, you know, the Blogger. It's free, you know, hosting under Blogger, owned by Google.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had that for like 3 years. You know, they're called aholeinthemiddle.com. That's what I post all my politics beliefs, you know, personal beliefs and stuff like that. But anyway, recently I just, you know, started getting this email from, you know, one of the grassroots, you know, conservative grassroots, you know,
mm-hmm.
About Obama's, you know, Obama's list, about enemy list, and they're putting, you know, labeling the right-wing extremist into the, you know, category of a terrorist, you know, or terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
And I put that in there, you know, because that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to silence the, you know, the critics, like you and I, you know, conservative talk shows and, you know, online
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. So, and all of a sudden it got deleted. And I contacted Blogger, and that's what they said. And they said, you know, because the last post, and it was just the last post I did, and it says, you know, Obama's list, are you on it, you know? And they would not give my, you know, they won't give my blog back. You know, all that 3 years posting all that good stuff and all that, and just, you know, recently I just objected or, you know, criticized Obama's administration and just deleted right away. And, you know, again, that's what I'm trying to get the point. There's a very thin line. You know, you and I could be labeled as a, you know, an extremist or a right-wing extremist or a danger to society because we talked about, you know, abortion, how, you know, how we believe in or difference from the pro-choice. And that's very, very sad. And that's very sad because it's, you know, that's kind of a where's our free speech, you know. We're not, like,
right.
You know, I have not heard you saying something like go out there and start killing people, you know, or abortionists, you know, that's just sad. And we're just like, again, I mean, what do you think we're heading with this? I mean, it's just, you know, there's the hate crime. I mean, the hate crime is a mess. Hate crime bill, you can't speak against, you know, homosexual because you don't, you'd be thrown in jail. I mean, it's down to.
Yeah, I'm okay. You got me worried now because I was on Facebook and somebody sent around a poll. Do you agree with same-sex marriage? And I said no. I voted no. So I think I did the same thing
to Facebook. Yeah, it was like 937,000 already voted no.
That poll is probably produced by the Obama administration. They send that out and then they see who votes the wrong way, and we're on the list now.
Can you? I mean, even in the Facebook, and it's just like, you know, we're, you know, like a pro-life and pro-choice. I mean, pro-choice is actually, you know, little compared to the pro-life on Facebook. I just, you know, it's like by hundreds of thousands, gay marriage is against gay marriage or pro-gay marriage and against gay marriage is like it's by thousands, by hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
And I just don't understand why, you know, just like a handful of those people are just making a difference. I just don't. Which state has just passed a law of I don't remember. I think it's New Hampshire or something like that.
Yeah,
I mean,
it was New Hampshire.
Oh yeah, they just passed that law. They're recognizing gay marriage now.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Yeah, what do you think of this, Don? Jump in here. What do you think?
About pro-life.
We just talked about recently. Yeah. Were you?
Well. I think that, you know, definitely it's good to be pro-life because, you know, God does say in his word, and I know that there's a lot of people that say that they're pro-choice because what if somebody was raped, but it does say that the child should not be punished for the father's sin. So if the father
according
raised
to Obama,
the mother,
that's a punishment.
You know, yeah, it's too bad, you know, and like so we're like, I'm pro-life by God's grace, you know, and Lord showed us that that's the way, and so yeah, it's good to be pro-life, and it's biblical to be pro-life, and for the guy that got shot, you know, what did he have the support of his pastor? Because maybe they were just thought that they're showing him the love of Christ and letting him come to church, and hopefully he'd come to the truth or something.
Well, all that year's done, I don't think so.
Oh,
I think he's not. It doesn't, you know. Yeah. Oh. So he's not like he just started doing that. So he has a track record of it.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is just like, you know, if you're the pastor and knowing that you have, you know, a member of the church or in your congregation is doing that thing, and I don't think counseling is going to work for him, you know, and he makes money for it. Do you agree, Kevin?
I agree. Yeah. Well, I don't. You know, you don't know what was going on in that church. I get, from my understanding, it's a Lutheran church.
Yeah, right.
You know, my first. you know, well, I'm not going to criticize it. You know, I just think.
Right.
I don't know what church you guys go to, but organized religion, like the big organizations, totally all respect for most of them.
Right. Are you referring to like maybe Pentecostal, Baptist, stuff like that?
Yeah. They, you know, the ones that, you know, where they basically go
right.
to, you put your time in for that hour on Sunday morning and you're good.
Wow.
that whole mindset, I don't know. And it's,
I'm a Christian, but I'm not under any denomination. I'm just, you know, Christian. I'm just, you know.
Yep.
And
I just believe that, you know, that to me, and you probably believe the same thing, is being a Christian means you have a relationship with Christ.
Right.
Exactly.
And that's between you and that's between you and Him. And it's,
yep.
You know, you don't have to, you know, we're commanded to go out and share that gospel. But I always like to put it this way, is we're out there, we're the marketing arm. God is responsible for closing the sale. We're just out there spreading the message, you know, doing the marketing for them. And so
that's a salesman's perfective. I mean, wow, that's pretty good, Kevin. I like that.
You like that, eh?
I like that.
Okay, good night. I'm leaving. I close on a high. But yeah, we're really living in tricky times, and it's really hard to know what's right or wrong. Do we follow the orders of our government, or do we follow the orders of God? We're getting to that point where we have to make those choices.
Yeah, exactly. It's, like in some countries, they've been dealing with that for a long time. You know, should they rebel and go with the guerrillas, like in the Philippines? You know, or I don't know other countries what they're called, but the rebels. You know, and is that right in God's eyes? Because He put the government, just like with Obama. Sorry if I interrupt you, but Obama, you know, like my husband and I, we didn't vote for him, but we have to respect him, you know. But at the same time, just because they pass a law in America doesn't mean it's okay with God. You know, you gotta read the Bible and find out. I mean, the law says in America it's okay to kill babies. God's word says it's not okay to kill babies, so we got to go with, you know, what God's word says.
And I think it's totally right to speak out against it and not commit murder, but you go, you know, there's nothing wrong with being mean about it.
Being a critic.
If you call it for what it is, it's murder. Anytime you, if somebody, you know, I'm an engineer. I don't want to say a science. Yeah, I guess I am a scientist. But if you can show me the minute, the second that a life becomes a life after conception, you say, you know, they say that, well, you know, at conception, it's 3 months. Okay, so you're saying that. So they're saying that a couple seconds before that 3 months up, they're saying it's not a life, and then a couple seconds later, it is. It doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't make any sense. Not logical.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And so. It's just logic tells you at conception that you can say a definite point where when the sperm meets the egg, you have a life, and then that's it.
Yep.
It's black and white. And it's so hard to argue with people who want to try to, you know, cloud up the issue with, what about in the case of rape or incest? Well, that doesn't have anything to do with the life was created, how it was created. That's inconsequential.
Exactly. Yeah. Because I think it has to boil down to, like, you know, whether they believe in God or not. I think it's because of the evolutionist, because of Darwinism,
yeah.
You know, and that all boils down to that.
I think it has to do with history, too, because, like, you know, I mean, it may not be the same exact thing, but how many religions do you know that people do things like, that they do things that because their parents did the things, but they don't know where they started, you know, like, for instance, the Amish people, they baptize people with the, I don't know about all Amish, but particular people we know of, they baptize people with a jar of water. Well, why? You know, why do they baptize people with a jar of water? Because in the 50s, they were being persecuted. It was like the 50s, and they were being persecuted that if the government found out that they were baptizing people in the rivers, they would actually tie millstones around their body, around them, so that they would sink. And that they say, you know, here, you're being baptized, and they'd actually drown them. Well, mm-hmm. So they figure out how much money, I mean, not money, but how much water it took to fully immerse somebody's body, and they fit that into, you know, a certain type of jar, and that's how that started. Just like with abortion, not exactly, but with abortion, you know, like, abortion was okay because in the 70s they didn't have scientific research, and that was what the law was based on, was scientific research, that they didn't know when it was conceived, but God always knows, and, you know, the Bible says, you know.
It's right in the Bible, that ever since you planted in your, you know, in your mother's womb, they knew you, or he knew
you. Exactly. And then,
right in there.
Just like with the, definition of abortion. Abortion used to be, you know, like one term, where now as abortion means like from when the egg attaches to the wall. Well, when, you know, a lot of people are taking birth control pills and that prevents the egg from attaching to the wall, doesn't mean that it's not a fertilized egg, you know. So a lot of times there's like 40,000, I was doing research the other day, there's like 40,000 abortions every day just in America, like about 4,000, like through 3,600 to 40, I mean to 4,000 is with physical abortion, and then the rest is through chemical abortion, like birth control pills and things like that. And and you know, you go to a doctor, some doctors don't know, but some doctors, they changed the, you know, in the 80s they changed the definition of abortion, you know.
Okay.
So
right.
So yeah, so it's like, and the definition of pregnancy. So
exactly.
So you gotta know where it started.
Yep. Now, I'm going to go ahead. We have a couple minutes here in the thing. Now, Kevin, you heard the news about the, I don't know, this guy supposedly, like, withdrew, like, hundreds of thousands of dollars from his bank, and he's set forth to kill Obama. Have you heard that, Obama? That's what I heard. He's caught,
I heard something just vaguely. I don't know the details though. What were the so that they caught him? I hit the wrong button here.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Hold on a second. Let me
problem when I try to get on. I'm actually trying to pull up your show page so I can tweet this, but.
Yeah, let's find out, because I'm not real, because I just heard this like about 2 days ago, and the guy is actually, you know, he said that that, you know, he drew like maybe like over $100,000 or somewhere on that area there, and he said, no, I'm going to kill Obama. So,
see, that that's wrong.
That's wrong. It's just like, you know, you can't agree with the guy.
I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, man.
At the very least, it's just stupid. You don't go running around telling people that you're going to do that. This is kind of dumb.
Yeah, you don't tell this president a bank teller. We can do it with $75,000. $75,000. I'm going to use it to kill Obama.
Do you have a subscription to Netflix, Fernando?
Yes. I am a Netflixer.
I do too.
I have never seen the show 24 until now, and so I was watching the first season of season of 24.
Uh-huh.
And that's basically the plot is that you have the first legitimate black candidate running for office, and there's somebody coming in from Europe.
The guy from the black guy from Allstate commercial, correct?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know, the deep voice.
That was interesting.
Yeah, exactly. So he kind of paved the way for Obama. He should thank him.
I don't know, but it's eerie. It was eerie seeing that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, the black guy in there in the show 24, it's, you know, somewhat conservative, you know. Doesn't fit him with Obama's character.
No, but you were talking about somebody trying to, you know, talk about assassinating him, and here they have, you know, in 24, they're...
Did he get assassinated that way?
No, I've only seen the first 4 hours, I guess. So I'm way behind. I'm 8 years behind in the show.
Oh,
that show came out in 2001. Of course, the reason I don't know. Do you remember a show called Dark Shadows? You may
Dark
not be
Shadows?
Old enough for that. Yeah, it was it was actually only on for about 3 years, 66 through 71. It was a soap opera.
Oh.
It was a soap opera. It was on, so it was 5 days a week, and it was, I mean, it had vampires and werewolves and everything else. It was really kind of a silly show, but I was about 4 or 5 years old when it started, and we would come home from school and watch this thing. And so I actually joined Netflix a few years ago so that I could catch up on what, you know, I saw it was a novelty thing for kids, you know, for about a month. But so we watched it maybe for about a month, and then I just totally lost track of it. So I joined Netflix just so I catch up on those episodes, and it took me about 3 years to catch up with them. So now I'm catching up with 24.
Oh yeah. Moderate Muslims, I think, and that's a couple of years ago, when they there was an episode about the terrorism, you know. Trade as a Muslim or extremist, you know, and moderate Muslims, I think, spoke against that and saying that, you know, they were somehow, you know, violated or something like that. It was in the news. And I said, I think I heard that on the radio also. They talked about, you know, the movie 24, and there was a huge controversy about that.
Wow.
I think it was a bomb blew up in L.A. or something like that.
Wow.
But, yeah, so that's who's that guy? Keith Sutherland, right? Keith Sutherland. Is that guy?
Yeah, it's Kiefer Sutherland plays Jack Bauer.
Yeah, that's a Jack Bauer guy. But did they find out ever? Did they ever find out who killed the Kung Fu guy?
No, I thought he committed suicide.
Yeah, but. Really? Is that what they're trying to tell us?
yeah, who knows? It was in Bangkok, Thailand. Who knows what happens, you know, over there?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
By the way, Fernando, I thought you were on Friday night.
No, actually, I was going to go. I mean, I got a lot of things going on around the house, and
uh-huh.
I mean, trying to fit in this stuff in here. You know, I was supposed to interview this guy, Montauk Monster guy, but I never told, but... It probably doesn't work for him. I don't know. He keeps saying that it doesn't work. But I was going to do it a Friday night, but you know, again, the week just for the previous 2 weeks, it was just hectic schedule, you know. But hopefully this week, man. So how often do you usually do the show?
I do mine Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Saturday morning, 9 o'clock. Ooh.
Yeah, and it's a tough. I mean, it's a tough. I don't usually have trouble getting a guest then. What I'm thinking about doing, though, this summer is just conducting – since I'm interviewing people who are entrepreneurs, business owners, or network marketers,
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about scheduling the interview and doing the show whenever is good for them,
mm-hmm.
and then uploading the MP3 and then uploading it and playing it on Saturday mornings at 9.
Rebroadcasting. Yeah, that's good, too, man. So, yeah, so let me know. Let me know if you know. I know that you're my Facebook friend, so let me know there, and you know, so we can support each other. and you know we can go that way. You know, they can we
absolutely
can go places. We can go places.
Yeah.
But I'm running out of time here. I'll give you the last word, Kevin. Last word.
Well, just have a blessed Sunday. Relax.
Okay.
And,
any show coming up?
Next Saturday. I don't know who my guest is. I'm going to be interviewing a guy by the name of Ken Tucker.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to be on next week, but we're going to reschedule him because he's going to be out of the country.
Okay,
but he wrote a book called.
Can find you.
I will be.
Blog
I'm
Talk
at blogtalkradio.com/Kevin-Masta, MASTAW, or they could just go to my website, kjmasta.com. And I always have show information on the homepage. So,
all right. Don, you have a last word? Yep.
Have a good night.
Yep. Have a good night, Kevin. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Well done. You have the last word, 30 seconds.
Anybody interested in something helping with cleaning for the swine flu virus, you can shop at shoppingsuperhighway.com. That's shoppingsuperhighway.com. Look for Snap Line, the disinfectant approved by EPA. Thanks.
Okay, once again, this is Fernando. You just listen to the Fernando Show. Kind of disappointed because that guy, Nikki Papers, Montauk Monster, did not call. We'll do it again. Maybe we'll catch. Maybe he's busy hunting monsters, okay? So, we are saying bye-bye.